It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, the show that's so nice. We do it twice. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Most of you already know that. Lots of podcasts. Most of you already know that as well. Love, love, love the Fantasy Feast podcast with Joe Dolan of FantasyPoints.com. Use the code FEAST. That's the key. Greg Cosell, Adam Kaplan, John Hansen, Graham Barfield. We've got Edwin Porras, the medical guy. I mean, it's unbelievable how much inside information you feel like you're getting from FantasyPoints.com. When you use the code FEAST, that's the key, so they know your boy Rossi T sent you. Send those to me if you want to win the spread the word or sponsor confirmation email contest this week, and or get a chance to ask me any question you would like about any aspect of football. Hopefully you have checked out Greg Cosell on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. The guy is amazing, and the guy told you last week ahead of time that Baker Mayfield wasn't playing all that well. Joe Dolan tells you the right stuff a lot of times as well. At FG underscore Dolan on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Joe is the number one ranked fantasy analyst over the last 5 years, according to fantasypros.com. I'm not, but I contribute. I like playing fantasy. Having a pretty decent year so far. So I'm enjoying it. Joe, let's get to a game I'm fired up about. We already got two early games on episode one. Let's start. I think this should be the featured game, but it's a CBS doubleheader weekend, and this is the end. I get it. But it's Seahawks-Cardinals. I got to think that's going to be a fun one.
I would agree. Kyler Murray's become a much more aggressive thrower the last couple of weeks, taking shots down the field. And, you know, I still struggle when I'm watching him a little bit, Ross. There seems to be something missing in that passing game. I mean, obviously, he only completed 9 passes last week against Dallas, but he's making plays for fantasy. He's running all over the field. He's going down the field a little bit more to Christian Kirk, who's creating big plays. Andy Isabella got open a couple of times last week, even though he didn't catch a pass. And Seattle's been giving up a ton of production on the back end. So I anticipate there is going to be a lot of points scored in this game. I think it'll be very popular on both sides for DFS. The other question that people are going to have is, hello, Kenyon Drake. Where did this come from? He has a monster game on the ground, and unfortunately, he's needed that. And he hasn't had one until now because he's not doing anything in the passing game. He has only 5 catches this year, but Kenyon Drake had that big game against Dallas, a defense that had quit by the end of that game. At this point, I think you kind of have to suck it up and start those guys. You got to start Drake. You got to start Kyler Murray. You got to start DeAndre Hopkins. And Christian Kirk against this Seattle team, he is in your lineup this week as a wide receiver too. I think Arizona can score a lot of points in this one.
Yeah, I think you're right. What about for Seattle coming off the bye?
Oh, I love these narrow fantasy teams, Ross, because I don't have to think. And believe me, when you're breaking down 32 teams every week, you have to do a lot of thinking. These teams where you don't have to think, there's teams where you don't have to think in a bad way, like the Jets. It's Jamison Crowder, nobody else. Then there's teams you don't have to think about in a good way. And Seattle is in there. Russell Wilson playing MVP football. DK Metcalf is the breakout star of the year at wide receiver. He's been awesome. Tyler Lockett, he's had a couple of quiet games, but don't bench Tyler Lockett because that's when the 2-touchdown, 10-catch game is coming. And Chris Carson, who I can slap myself. Every single year, I try to talk myself out of Chris Carson. Well, you know, they drafted Rashad Penny, and they signed Carlos Hyde, and they drafted DJ Dallas. And every year I have a different excuse for why I'm out on Chris Carson. Oh, the hip injury, you know. And a lot of times they sound legitimate. They sound like legitimate excuses. And every year he throws it in my face and says, you are a dumbass. Each and every year he's a top 10 running back. You play these 4 guys. You sleep like a baby. Nobody else in consideration for Seattle. I mean, just go to bed, go to sleep well. Maybe you're scared off a little bit by Patrick Peterson, who hasn't been all that great this year. With DK Metcalf and you prefer Tyler Lockett, that's great. Make that call if you want to. But there's four guys for Seattle, and they are all hammer fantasy options.
Jacksonville is in L.A. The Chargers coming off a bye. The Jags coming off of getting smoked yet again.
Yeah, the Jacksonville, I mean, the opportunities there for DJ Chark. I think it was 14 targets last week despite being injured. I think you just have to keep kind of rolling with him, DJ Chark. James Robinson, touchdowns are the best deodorant for fantasy. He got in the end zone last week, so keep rolling with him. Keelan Cole is actually like a top 25 fantasy wide receiver right now, by the way. So he's somebody who you can play as a wide receiver three. And Minshew's a decent enough option this week, although the Chargers pass rush could get after him. So Jacksonville is a pretty basic fantasy team right now. When it comes to the Chargers, though, I don't think anybody on earth anticipated Justin Herbert would be as good as he is right now. And, you know, I'm kicking myself. I just talked about Chris Carson. I'm kicking myself in my analysis on Keenan Allen as well, because I didn't draft Keenan Allen anywhere. Nowhere. I didn't draft him a single spot. And my thought with Keenan Allen was, well, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert, this is going to be a run-heavy offense. So Keenan Allen, who's a great receiver, he's an awesome receiver, he's a killer at receiver, he's just not going to get all that many opportunities. Well, what I didn't anticipate was Justin Herbert coming in and setting the world on fire. So the one thing I can at least say to myself is, even if the Chargers had named Justin Herbert their week one starter, I probably wouldn't have been in on Keenan Allen anyway. So I haven't anticipated him playing the way he's been playing, but he is a great fantasy option in a good matchup against Jacksonville. Mike Williams has been a guy Justin Herbert has trusted down the field. He's on the wide receiver three radar. And on the RB2 radar are both Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly. It was Justin Jackson who was the guy last week, before the Chargers bye. He was ripping off chunks of yardage while Kelly was struggling. I do not doubt that Anthony Lynn could go from Justin to Kelly if Joshua Kelly is looking a little bit better in the early down phase here. So I'm not totally convinced that Justin Jackson took a full grasp of that backfield in week number 5. I still think both of these guys are on the RB2 radar, and I think they're going to rotate them both. Both of them could be effective for fantasy this week for the LA Chargers.
On the other side, you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talked about them, pretty disappointing. Let's just move on, I guess, to San Francisco. Unless you have anything else to add on Jacksonville. I know you talked about DJ Chark.
Yeah, 14 targets last week. I mean, you just got to suck it up and play him. I mean, I know he's not 100%, but just suck it up and play him. He had 14 targets last week.
All right, Niners at the Patriots. Interesting one after how each of these teams played last week. Why don't we start with the Niners?
Yeah, so Raheem Mostert's going on IR. And when Raheem Mostert was out a couple of weeks ago, Jerick McKinnon was an RB1. Now people are thinking, well, you know, what about Jamichael Hasty? And I think that's a fair question with Jamichael Hasty. I still think McKinnon is the play here as an RB2. But Jamichael Hasty, who's a hot waiver wire pickup, because I seriously doubt people drop McKinnon after knowing that Mostert's with injury history, the way McKinnon has been playing, I seriously doubt people dropped him. So I would focus on Hasty as kind of a flex, but I think McKinnon's an RB2. Jimmy Garoppolo, revenge game. I'm not feeling it this week for Garoppolo, but you got to play Deebo Samuel, who looks awesome. And you know the focus for Bill Belichick is going to be George Kittle. He did it with Darren Waller a couple weeks ago, holding him to 2 catches. I mean, it's George Kittle. You have to play him. I know that's the guy. That's the guy Belichick is going to be saying, if we slow him down, we're winning this game. I just don't know how feasible slowing George Kittle down is. You understand maybe you downgrade him because of the Belichick matchup, but it's just one of those situations where, hey, maybe you can get an edge in DFS if people are like, oh, Kittle, Belichick's going to take him out. And you're like, I don't think anybody can take George Kittle out. And you put Kittle in your lineup. You just got to suck it up and play him.
What about the Patriots and how bad their offense go?
I mean, Cam did not throw the ball well. He did take a shot to his throwing arm, and you wonder if that affected things because he opened up pretty hot, and then he was terrible. The big problem for the Patriots is the wide receivers suck. I mean, N'Keal Harry, it looks like he's carrying a 3-pound brick of you-know-what in his drawers out there. He's really slow. Julian Edelman has struggled badly the last couple weeks. It's kind of like, I mean, it's gotten to the point where James White is their most effective weapon in the passing game. And look, I'm as good as James White is, if your best receiver is a running back, that's not good for your team. The backfield, Damian Harris hasn't really gotten going. I mean, I kind of feel like right now it's James White, maybe Edelman as a wide receiver 3, and Cam as a low-end QB 1, and that's about it for New England. This is a really bad fantasy team right now.
Interesting. So that's people you want to stay away from when it comes to probably DFS as well at DraftKings. I don't even know. I'd probably take the Niners and the points at DraftKings Sportsbook, which is giving all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code Ross. I think I actually teased the Niners up 6 points to getting 8.5 on the Even Money podcast. On the DraftKings Sportsbook line, because they might not win, but I think they'll keep it close the way New England's playing. And that's the type of things you can do at DraftKings Sportsbook. Endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They really do it all. Here's the thing. It's a U.S.-based sportsbook, the only big U.S.-based sportsbook. Safe, reliable, secure. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Ross when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code Ross to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey or PA only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Are you gambling with any Denver Broncos skill guys against the Chiefs, Joe? Broncos got a win. Locke was kind of up and down. Philip Lindsay, man, I'm telling you, Philip Lindsay is good.
Yeah, he is. But the question I have with Lindsay is, like, why have multiple coaching staffs decided he's not a lead back? I mean, I'm not like saying anything controversial here. This current coaching staff went out and signed Melvin Gordon. 2 years ago, under the different coaching staff, Royce Freeman's getting half the snaps. So there's something missing there. And by the way, Lindsay did not have a target in that game. So he was not used in the passing game. I still anticipate Melvin Gordon. That is part of his role. Both Gordon and Lindsay are low-end RB2s to me. And both of them can be used. Keep an eye on Noah Fant's status. Albert Okwuegbunam was out there. He dropped a couple of touchdown passes from Locke, so that wasn't good news. So keep an eye on Noah Fant's status. If Fant goes, I'm playing him. In this matchup, I think Jerry Jeudy's a wide receiver 3, and a guy who you can use as a wide receiver 3 now is Big Tim Patrick. He and Drew Locke seem to have some vibes down the field. He is somebody you can use, but Locke I am staying away from in this matchup.
On the other side, the Chiefs, interesting game against Buffalo. This seems to be the formula now, Joe. You play the two deep safeties against Kansas City. You make them run out of it. You don't give up the stuff deep. You know, does it affect you with Tyreek Hill or even guys like Sammy Watkins when he comes back? Yeah. I think this might be what teams do. Because even though Buffalo allowed Kansas City to control the action, I mean, I'm sitting there late in the fourth quarter. It's 23-17. They only get 23 points.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing for Buffalo was Mahomes on third down. He made third down plays. But I think if your option is, are we going to have to – is the game going to be on our defense in the fourth quarter and maybe Mahomes beats us? Or are they just going to put up 35 points in the first half? I think you take the latter. And I think that's what Vic Fangio will decide to do. Denver has good safeties. So I think that's what they'll decide to do. Obviously, you're playing Kelsey. Here, it seems to be the deal here. Mecole Hardman is the backup to Tyreek Hill. DeMarcus Robinson is the backup to Sammy Watkins. Mecole Hardman, I hope you enjoy your retirement. Everybody on planet Earth is playing Mecole Hardman for fantasy last week against Buffalo. He doesn't catch pass. So DeMarcus Robinson's viable. Bench Mecole Hardman. Get rid of him. For DFS, I wonder if this is a really good spot for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And everybody's going to be talking, oh, Le'Veon Bell, my God, Le'Veon Bell's coming in. He's going to get 30 catches and 47 carries, and he's going to play 138% of the snaps, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is dead. Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran all over the Buffalo Bills last week. All over. Didn't get in the end zone. He is snake-bitten in the touchdown department, okay? He got a touchdown call back. Ross, you were at that game. How did he look to you?
I don't know, man. I thought he looked okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's running all over Kansas, Buffalo. He's getting to the second level. Sometimes he's
Here's the only thing I would say, Joe. Yeah. They were playing. I mean, he looked good. I don't think that they're going to. I think they just want Le'Veon Bell to carry some of the load, like short yardage goal line.
On third downs, unfortunately.
And third downs. I thought Helaire looked good, but I'd also say the line did a hell of a job blocking. Mm-hmm. And with the two deep safeties, they never had an extra guy in the box. I mean, Helaire did a nice job, but like I'm not blown away by him. Yeah. He's good. I don't think he's great.
But if Andy sees those looks, he's going to keep running football. You know, Andy likes to throw the football, but if he's going to see looks where there's six guys in the box, he's going to run it. And the thing about Le'Veon Bell is right now, I don't know how good a runner he is. We do know he's a good receiver and a pass protector. But I just wonder if this is a good DFS spot to get a little bit contrarian with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's just the thought I'm having right now, because everybody on planet Earth is going to be scared away by the fact that Le'Veon Bell's in a chief uniform right now.
What about the Bucks and the Raiders, Joe, on Sunday night? Mm-hmm. How about, we'll start with the Bucks. Ronald Jones. I mean, Ronald Jones, Joe, you hated on him. You hate the truthers.
Oh.
He looks decent, man. You got to be honest.
He looks better than decent. I mean, look, I said it. I was anti-Rojo. I've been anti-Rojo for years. And sometimes our priors color our current thoughts. Ronald Jones is the RB13 in overall fantasy points, and he's run for over 100 yards each of the last three games. Nothing he has done suggests he's going to lose snaps to Leonard Fournette. He shouldn't lose snaps to Leonard Fournette. Maybe he does, but right now he is a rock solid RB2. He is putting up good numbers. You keep rolling with Ronald Jones. I didn't draft him anywhere. I'll fully admit that. I am not a truther. Then Leonard Fournette gets hurt. Ronald Jones takes the opportunity given to him, and he runs with it. I still struggle with him in the passing game, but he is running very well. So you play him. I mean, that's long and the short of it. I am worried about Mike Evans. And I know that wasn't a great matchup last week, catching the Jair Alexander shadow, but I am worried. I'm a little worried about the injury. Brady really seemed to gravitate towards Gronk. Which is good news for the tight end position, because as we talked on the last podcast, it's been weak. But Brady really seemed to gravitate towards Gronk. Godwin was back. I mean, you have to suck it up and play Mike Evans against a Raider defense that struggles in the secondary. But I am a little bit concerned. But that passing game, the matchup is good enough. Brady, Gronk, Godwin, Evans, you kind of just have to suck it up and play all these guys. And Rojo, he's an RB2 and a good one.
What about for the Raiders? They're coming off the bye. Last time out, Henry Ruggs was shredding the Chiefs deep.
The Buccaneers here, you would think the Raiders are going to have to throw the ball, because the Buccaneers' run defense is utterly nasty. And they get another piece this week in McClendon. So he's coming in there to bolster up that run defense that's already excellent. So Josh Jacobs is going to need a touchdown or have to do it in the passing game this week. But I would anticipate Derek Carr as a good QB streamer this week. Henry Ruggs, maybe they also got all healthier over the bye. Darren Waller, you expect Tampa Bay is a great defense, but by nature, they're a pass funnel defense because their run defense is so nasty. I think this is a spot for Derek Carr, Henry Ruggs, Darren Waller to make an impact. Keep an eye on Bryan Edwards' status as well.
Ooh, okay. That's interesting. What about, let's wrap things up, Joe. It's the Chicago Bears who are 5-1 against the Rams, who greatly disappointed me against the Niners Sunday night, Joe.
Oh, I thought Goff was terrible. First and foremost, let's get to the elephant in the room. Oh, Sean McVay. Oh, yeah. Cam Akers. Man, he's going to play. He played one snap. One.
I am struggling so much at running back. I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but then my next options are like Cam Akers, Frank Gore, Matt Breida. It's killing me, Joe. I'm three and three. It's killing me. Team league right there.
Akers, I would have anticipated a whole lot more than this, but right now Daryl Henderson's an RB2. Akers in shallower leagues is droppable. I mean, I'd want to hold on to him because just in case he gets this role, but it just seems like they're missing something offensively. Cooper Kupp, it caught two passes in that game. Robert Woods isn't producing to the level I expected. I thought Jared Goff was terrible on Sunday night. Not a great game, and this is not a great defense for them to be going up against. I think you downgrade all your Rams a little bit, and guys like Kupp and Woods, who you thought were absolutely weekly starters, are now they're guys you might be considering benching. I hate to say it, but like with the way they played, I was not impressed in the least in that game.
Yeah, I'm with you. What about for this week against a really good Bears D?
Yeah, it's a full downgrade across the board for me. That doesn't – now, look, you downgrade them. That doesn't mean you bench Cooper Kupp. It doesn't mean you bench Robert Woods. But if you have a difficult decision, like, for instance, maybe on the Thursday, you're like, should I play Travis Fulgham, who's putting up big numbers, or Cooper Kupp, who isn't? Maybe that's a decision you have to make, knowing that there's a tough matchup for the Rams at stake here. I think Daryl Henderson's an RB2. Goff is a low-end quarterback starter this week. It is a tough matchup.
For the Bears, you like anybody?
Allen Robinson, each and every week. David Montgomery is getting a ton of opportunities. It really sucked that he had a touchdown call back last week because he could have had a huge game. But he had that touchdown call back on replay review. I don't think Foles is playing particularly well, Ross. But he's doing enough that he's keeping this offense on some sort of schedule, which is better than Mitchell Trubisky was doing. So I love Allen Robinson. I'm playing David Montgomery. I think you can take a shot on Jimmy Graham, who's putting up numbers at a weak tight end position. Those are the three guys I'm focusing on for the Chicago Bears.
I'm focusing on fantasypoints.com and using the code FEAST because I love all the information you give me here, Joe, but I know there's even more. There's even more out there. You've got like a dozen people contributing so much content on DFS, even on betting stuff, on season long, on IDP. I mean, you have like expert analysts for everything. It's unbelievable. Fantasypoints.com. Use the code FEAST. That's the key. Trust me. Other than that, I'm totally stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.